It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
What is going on, everyone? I want to welcome you to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. We are all presented by Daily Joust, and yes, this is the podcast coming to you each and every day, discussing, breaking down the games, and hopefully helping you become a better daily fantasy player. Also talking about news and notes pertaining to the industry, interviews with the big winners, and all in all, hopefully 30 minutes that you find enjoyable, helpful each and every day. So glad to be doing it. Again, my name's Dan Bach. I go by DB730. I want to thank everybody who gave us a view. That's right, not a download, because we're doing something different. It gave us a view on Grinders Live on Friday. It was our premiere episode of that. Again, we're going to be running that live show 5:30 to 6:30 Eastern, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And all in all, I was pretty happy with how it came out. So hopefully you enjoyed it. I love doing it. So Soccer Dave and myself will be back at it again tonight at 5:30, kind of talking a little bit about the games, but giving you a more updated version. And obviously, keeping the banter light, that's part of what we want to do. We want to take, obviously, our analysis seriously, but try not to bore you to death for an hour. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Back again later today. Should be a good podcast for this Monday, because we got a huge 11-game schedule in the NBA, so that's nice. And on top of that analysis, which I will certainly give you, we're going to bring on the latest big winner. That's right, over on Draft Street. The Draft Street Basketball Championship wrapped up on Friday night. And what can I say? Oh my goodness. All I can say is I told you so. I finally got one right. Al Smizzle. Al to the Smizzle. Al Zeidenfeld took it down on Friday night and walked away with $50,000 on Draft Street. And a great conversation coming up with him. Really nice guy. And it's funny, you know, one of the things that we discuss in the interview is the common trend among recent championship winners, which maybe lends itself to me having some success, you know, coming up here in the next couple of weeks. You know, that would be nice. So listen for that. I think it makes a lot of sense. So it's a fun conversation. Good guy. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy. First time I've had a chance to speak with him. He did make the Draft Street football final as well. And came up a little bit short there, but got it done over this three-day event in basketball. And some of the guys I mentioned came out and did pretty well. Not to toot my own horn, because I know that Al doesn't need my help, but Chris Bosch is one guy I certainly had. But the one thing that was shocking to me was Rudy Gay was so underused in that, only 30% out of the 10 people. I thought he was underpriced going against Charlotte. But Josh Smith was a great pick that worked out for him. Carlos Boozer, another guy. And as he mentions in the interview, really got some help with the way that Chicago and Golden State game kind of got out of hand. So congratulations to him. We'll have that interview with you with him coming up here in just a little bit. But before we do that, remember, we're running out of days to get your Super Joust seats. So over there on Daily Joust, they got one running tonight. Going to have them basically going through this week. I think its start date on that is the 24th. Fifth, I believe. Let me update that real quick. I believe it's the 25th. So right around the corner is the start of Super Joust 5. That's a $50,000 event, and it's going to be running from the 25th through the 31st. So we've got that coming up on Joust. And then over on, obviously, FanDuel, you got King of the Court. On DraftKings, you got the Bank Shot. So some big, big tournaments over on Draft Street and on FanDuel. You also have hockey events. So lots of ways for you to qualify, lots of money to be given away here in Daily Fantasy. You got to love it. But the best way to obviously get to those big championships, those big payouts, is some of the times you got to qualify. And to qualify, you got to put together good teams. And to put together good teams, you got to do the research. And that's what I've done. And I'm going to share it with you right now. Let's look at tonight's NBA schedule. Let's do it. Like I mentioned, about 11 games today on the schedule. Pretty decent matchups all around, so we'll go over some of these here in just a moment. First one to look at, though, is the the Wizards and the Bobcats. John Wall has really hit like this next gear, as he has not been under 38 fantasy points in the last four games. And the thing that happens, though, as we've seen on a lot of sites, is their algorithm basically takes in a recent performance and then their salary bumps up. Now, some sites are faster than others. You look at a site like Draft Street and Daily Joust, that goes a lot faster than, say, FanDuel, for example. So I think John probably more in play on those sites than the ones that move awfully fast, because I think he's a tad bit overpriced on Draft Street and Daily Joust today. But we'll be interested to see how this this works, because Bradley Beal returned last game, played 21 minutes, and Wall still played well in that game, and he gets a nice matchup versus Kemba Walker. So I think you got to look at the site and make the decision based on whether he's overpriced or still fairly slash underpriced. Martell Webster went for the 40 spot last game. Now, you kind of, if you heard the Grinders Live on Friday, Martell Webster, just never sold on him ever since I saw his goofy haircut in Minnesota. But the guy put up huge numbers last night. And again, you're going to see some inflation in that salary some places, but other places he's still going to be a decent value. And as long as Trevor Rees is out, he's going to get more playing time. But the two guys I really like, and this is a matchup that we saw during the FanDuel basketball championship that I attended, was Bobcats and Wizards, and a lot of people were on Emeka Okafor that night, and he really did not do that much. But you know what? I think he's in store for a nice game. Nene also had a real nice game that day. I think either of these guys, again, this is a situation where if you're running with multiple teams on a site, maybe one team you use Okafor, one team you use Nene. I'm not sure if I'd combo them up, but I definitely think one, if not both, are going to have good games today. As for the Bobcats, Kemba Walker went for 39 fantasy points last game against the Wizards, so clearly has some upside in this matchup. You look at Gerald Henderson, 22 points per game over the last five, but the real value play on Charlotte is Josh McRoberts, 30, 30, and 26 in the last three games. Great value, most sites, in getting big minutes, and I don't see that changing, considering, you know, who are they going to plug in? Bismack Biyombo, B.J. Mullins is clearly in the doghouse, so no reason not to roll with McRoberts. Gennaro Pargo, 26 fantasy points the last game. They just signed him. Again, very, very, very cheap. He is still coming off the bench. Probably a lucky game. Wouldn't read too much into it, but just keep your eye on what happens tonight. Portland and Philly, sneaky stat here. Wes Matthews, highest point per game against any team is against Philadelphia at about 20 points a game, so he could be somebody to look at kind of off the radar. J.J. Hickson, solidly in the mid-30s outside of those games against New York and Memphis, which, let's face it, two of the better defensive teams against big men. LaMarcus Aldridge is really heated up the last three. 46, 45, 48. And if you want to consider Nick Batum today, you could. 42 fantasy points in the last game against Philadelphia. One thing, Portland, though, much better team at home than on the road. So tough to think that they're going to play all that great in this matchup, but we'll see. Drew Holiday is a guy who I think I'm going to roster a bit tonight. 29, 9, and 9 in the last game against Portland. Damian Lillard, not known for his great defense, definitely more an offensive point guard, as we've seen. And if you look at Holiday, he's had back-to-back games in the 40s, so I think he's somebody who's definitely worth looking at today. Thaddeus Young, five straight games, over 30 fantasy points. Spencer Hawes with a 53-point monster, and that was only a couple days after going for 40. Portland, decent matchup for Hawes. Obviously, if he's getting it done, they're going to keep looking his way. I think pretty fair over there on FanDuel. Indiana and Cleveland. Roy Hibbert, 39 or more in two of the last three games. And you got to like the matchup against Cleveland's interior. Paul George, always a favorite guy of mine, especially when he's a tad bit underpriced like he is on some sites, like where he's sitting on Joust this morning. Alonzo Gee, though, might be the one guarding him. Gee, I'm not sure how to say it. But he might be the one guarding him, one of the better on-ball defenders, but I'm not too worried. I think Paul George looks safe. George Hill, 28, 32, and 32 in the last three, while David West may be struggling a little bit, 30 fantasy points or less in four of the last five games. So unless there's a price drop on him, which there might be, probably wouldn't consider it. The Pacers D, not really as good as normal lately, but you know, an 11-game day, probably best to ignore a good number of the Cleveland players here. Deion Waiters, I guess, could be an option, but not totally sold on that. Sean Livingston, Wayne Ellington, both these guys are cheap and going to play heavy minutes. So those are the couple of guys you could look at Cleveland. But any of the big men like Spates or Tristan Thompson, I think you're just best to pass on. Dallas and Atlanta, back-to-back for both of these teams. Jay Crowder is coming out playing some big minutes for a low price. He's kind of been solidly in the 20s. Somebody used him on DraftKings today and passed me up, so you know, I guess it worked out pretty well for him. Dirk Nowitzki, 32 or more in four straight games. But the guy to look at, Mike James, 32 minutes last game, and he's basically getting the starter's minutes at the point guard position. Atlanta, not great against the point guard spot most of this season, so he's somebody who could be a good value play for you. Now, Smith, Josh Smith and Al Horford played big last game versus Dallas. 42 for Al, 42 for Jay Smooth, and both these guys played pretty good last night as well. This is a home game for them, so they're not really traveling. That really doesn't worry me as much when you look at the back-to-back situations. You like the home team as opposed to the team that's got to travel there. Devin Harris, you know, he got the start last game but got into deep foul trouble, and Jeff Teague is the one that went off. I think both these guys are ultra-risky. I just don't think it's worth looking into them today. Kyle Korver, decent for the price over there on DraftKings. Brooklyn and Detroit. Deron Williams is expensive, but a really solid matchup here, and he's recently kind of hit a hot streak. The back-to-back does kind of scare me, especially since this is a team that is traveling on the back-to-back. Brooke Lopez, nothing special lately, but Detroit, not really good defensively against center, so this could be a spot for him. Not my favorite play of the day, but I suppose there's some justification for it. You look to Greg Monroe. He went for 23-10 in the last game against the Brooklyn Nets, so he's probably a good bet to revalue tonight. Rodney Stuckey, 34-29 in the last two games. This guy can definitely heat up, but he can go in the for really quick as well. So I think he's underpriced there on FanDuel, probably on DraftKings as well. Could be in play there. I just get a little bit nervous, especially going against a fairly solid defensive team in the Nets. Jose Calderon hit 30 fantasy points only once in the last 10 games, and a lot of those games are with Brandon Knight out, so I just don't think he's a 30 fantasy point guy on this team. Will Bynum, though, he's been solid with no Brandon Knight in the lineup, but his price has gone up on a couple sites, but still good value around. Still risky, though, you know, playing backup minutes. Miami and Boston, one hell of a game going to be tonight because you know Boston's going to show up. You know Miami is trying to get to that, you know, consecutive wins record. I mean, they don't want to lose ever. Nobody ever does. But this is pretty impressive. Boston, though, hasn't lost at home in 2 months, which makes me think LeBron and Wade, they're going to be busy in this game. They're going to be doing their absolute best, obviously, to win, and it's not going to be a blowout, that's for sure. But the guy to look at again, I mentioned him on Friday, and I don't like his game that much, but when the matchup is appropriate, you got to look to him. Chris Bosh, last two games against the Celtics, 16 points, 16 rebounds, and 19 points, 10 rebounds. So he's somebody to definitely consider today if the price is fair. Kevin Garnett, looks like he might be out of this one. I think you got to give a slight bump to Brandon Bass as he is going to kind of move into that center, power forward position, play a handful more minutes. How about Shavlik Randolph playing for the Celtics? I had no idea this guy was even in the league. You know, if you remember, he was at Duke, probably one of the big-time prospects that they had, you know, coming out of high school. Never really lived up to the hype, but I guess he's in the league. I saw him in the box score the other night. Paul Pierce usually steps up in these kind of big game situations. So even though defensively tough defender there with LeBron / Wade, I definitely like Paul Pierce. Avery Bradley, Courtney Lee, good value. Again, not my favorite situation on 11-game day. Probably wouldn't go there. Denver and Chicago. Kenneth Faried had 21-12 in the last game against Chicago, but he's been below 30 in the last four games, and somebody just has not gotten it rolling lately. Tough matchup against Chicago, so I'll probably pass on him. Danilo Gallinari, four straight games under 30 fantasy points. Ty Lawson, three straight under 30 fantasy points. But, you know, a good matchup in theory. You know, for whatever reason, Nate Robinson decided to play some defense, I guess, on Steph Curry. That or Steph Curry just couldn't make a jump shot the other night. But I think Lawson could kind of get rolling once again in this one. Kostakoufos, 39, 16, and 36. That's his output in the last three games. Tougher matchup versus Chicago, though, here. No, Joakim Noah, you look at the last game, Chicago played Denver, and he did nothing. He scored 2 points, didn't do much on the boards. But you know what? I think he's not really a big risk here. I think he's a guy who can give you the five-category upside. I like him against the, you know, historically bad defensive team in the paint like Denver is. Carlos Boozer, 41 last game, but that was against Golden State. Nate Robinson also got hot in that one, but he's super unpredictable. Marco Bellinelli, I think probably best to pass on him. He's been pretty bad in the last three games. Minnesota and Memphis, Nikola Pekovic and AK-47, they made a comeback last night. Kirilenko had a block to win the game for him. And you know what? The surprising thing was Derek Williams probably played the best that he's played in the past week with those guys back. Tough matchup probably today against Memphis to consider any of those guys. Ricky Rubio, he did score 17 in the last game against Memphis, but really surprisingly didn't fill the stat sheet up any other statistic. So obviously any team against Memphis on a busy day like today, probably best to just look elsewhere. Zebo went for 31 and 37 in the last two games. Marc Gasol finally under 30 fantasy points last game, but should rebound in this one. Mike Conley cooled a little bit in the last two, but against Ricky Rubio, I think he should pick it up, probably be in the upper 20s, low 30s this evening. Golden State, New Orleans, Steph Curry finally hit on a big game yesterday, went for like 45 in that range, and I wouldn't be surprised for him to do it again against New Orleans today. Andrew Bogut also is good for 30 fantasy points in two of the last three games. I think he's pretty solid value on most sites, and you look at New Orleans, not great against post players. David Lee could be an option, but he's been under 30 fantasy points in the last two, and it just seems like he's not the same player when Andrew Bogut is in that lineup. Jared Jack, he's pretty much reach value or close to it the last three games, still cheap on a lot of sites. Now you look to New Orleans, and Eric Gordon supposed to miss this game, and when that happens, I think Grievous Vasquez gets a nice bump. He's been over 30 in three of the last four games, and he gets a date with Steph Curry at the point guard position, so you know I love to pick on his defense. Not a bad game there. Home game for New Orleans as well, I think Anthony Davis is somebody to take a look at. He's played really well in the last couple weeks. Robin Lopez, another guy, if you want to go with a big man down low, he gives you some nice upside for his pretty mid-range price. I mean, you find him over there on Draft Street like for $8,000-$9,000, which you know usually can pay that number off. The Lakers in Phoenix, boy, the Lake Show. I must have been the only man playing daily fantasy yesterday not to stack up the Lakers players, because Jameson, Earl Clark, Steve Nash, Dwight Howard, all these guys had pretty big games there for the Lake Show, and I definitely think as long as Kobe is out, you can look to all those guys once again, especially like Steve Nash going back home against Phoenix. Now, I know it is the back-to-back situation here, but again, the Lakers fighting for a playoff berth, pretty important games. I think Nash, not impossible to reach value, especially when you look at his number. I think he's about $5,000 on FanDuel. Should be able to pay that number off. As for Phoenix, you know, you go against the Lakers, and that means that they don't play defense themselves. So Goran Dragic is somebody who, in theory, should have a good game here today. I also maybe consider Michael Beasley if he's cheap enough out there. I think he's had some decent games against the Lakers in the past. Numbers-wise, kind of been in the 20s against tougher defenses than he's going to face tonight. But all in all, that Phoenix rotation, still a mess. Jermaine O'Neal starting, the Morris twins, it's just awful all around. So there's probably value to be had on that team, even Jared Dudley, somebody like that. But you really never know which one's going to go. So you can take a shot on a big GPP and hope you hit on a guy that not a lot of people have. But if you're playing head-to-heads, I'd probably avoid using any Phoenix players, except maybe Dragic. I think he's the one guy who's pretty safe to go somewhat big in this game. And Knicks in Utah, Melo and Chandler, Tyson Chandler, likely to miss this game. That means J.R. Smith has to be looked at. Now, I know he only shot 4 for 20 last game, didn't really reach value in that one. But you know what? Nobody on this team can really score but him. So I think he's got to be kind of looked at by necessity for that reason. Now, Raymond Felton, Chris Copeland, they were both decent yesterday. But it was an ugly, ugly game. This one could get ugly as well. I think Felton is somebody I might consider again, because I think he's obviously going to get the minutes. In a couple of games, Melo's been out. He scored a decent amount, so I think Felton could be an option against the Utah guards. But honestly, look at the interior of the Knicks. Kurt Thomas and Marcus Camby. Are you serious? Is this like 2002? That's about when those guys were any somewhat good. Mo Williams, he is cheap for the Utah Jazz. And you know what? He's been okay. You know, he's usually in the mid-20s or unfortunately gives you like 12. So this game against the Knicks could be a 20-range play considering Raymond Felton is on the defensive end. Big Al Jefferson, Paul Millsap. I think both these guys could reach value at home. I know the numbers show that the Knicks are tough defensively down low, but that's when Tyson Chandler is playing. Again, like I mentioned, Kurt Thomas, Marcus Camby, I'm not so excited about those guys. But honestly, this could be blowout central in this game. The Knicks just seem really out of it on this road trip, so I wouldn't be surprised if Utah blew them out. If that's the case, you know, you could kind of go off the board with a Derek Favors type, you know, somebody to get a few extra minutes, but always risky to quote-unquote predict the blowout. But that's the rundown of the games for this Monday night. Best of luck in your matchups.
The champ is here! The champ is here!
Joining us this Monday on the podcast, we're talking with the biggest winner out of anybody on Friday night. Of course, I'm talking about the Draft Street Basketball Championship. He took down $50,000, one hell of a lineup, one hell of a run the last couple days. He goes by Al Smizzle. His real name's Al Zeidenfeld, and he joins us here on the podcast. Al, first off, congratulations on the win, my man. Obviously, you knew I was pulling for you. You overcame the jinx, and you took home the crown. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Really pleased to be here. Really proud to have won, and it was just such a great field. I can't believe that I came out on top after the 3 days were done.
Yeah, it was a tough field. I mean, going into it, I said leading up to that tournament that I felt that was probably the best championship field we've had for any sport. And I'm not surprised with how, you know, NBA seems to lend itself to having, quote unquote, less luck, less variance. You know, you can predict things more on a day-to-day basis, and I think it's an advantage to the more experienced players. But to go through that field, like you say, that's quite an accomplishment. Now, you know, you were my odds-on favorite going in. Did that give you any nervousness going in? Because, you know, everybody had this DB jinx, you know, DB can't pick a winner to save his life. And I finally, you know, I feel as much relief as you probably do over this.
Well, I mean, I feel almost better for you than I do for myself. But, you know, I like being the underdog. And to be honest with you, I should have been the underdog seeing who was left after the first eliminations. I mean, Dink Piece with two entries and Head Chopper, who, you know, he just took down the FanDuel championship. There was so much talent, and you know, Notorious does numerous articles on your site, and everybody was still in the tournament. It was really a stacked field. Cardinals, I can keep naming guys that I would have ranked ahead of me as well. I just felt that I was on a good run that week. I was thinking clearly, and when I was selecting my lineups, and it really came out on top. I also got lucky too, so I can't deny that.
Well, there's always a little bit of luck, but you were hot leading up to it. I mentioned it earlier on the podcast. You know, we played on DraftKings one night, and I had what I felt was one of the best lineups of the site, and I took down numerous, you know, I took down a GPP, took down bank shot seats, and I lost on a $5 five-man game to you. and I looked at the lineup, and you had Sam D'Alembert in there, who didn't even play that day.
He didn't even get in.
No,
it was the worst.
You had a zero, and you still beat me. So I knew you were locked in at that moment. So I kind of felt you were in a good place. Now, this is your second live event out there on Draft Street. Well, second main event, I should say, on Draft Street. You made it to the football championship. Why so much success on that site?
To be honest with you, I don't know, because it's the site I play the least out of the three that I tend to play. I played a little bit on Daily Joust during last baseball season, and then I kind of took a break during the middle of baseball season. When I came back to it at basketball season, I kind of stuck with FanDuel, tried out DraftKings, and I started doing the qualifiers on Draft Street, and that's really all I play on Draft Street. I don't do leagues. I don't do very many tournaments. I just do the qualifiers because I guess you could say I'm kind of a big game hunter. I want to cash the big checks. I don't really want to grind it every day in play the volume that some of these guys play, but I will go after the big championships.
Now, in those situations, did you max out the number of qualifying entries you could put in to pretty much every qualifier? I think it's five over there on Draft Street. Is that the way that you got in?
For some of them, yes. For the 10s and the 22s, for the 11s and the 22s, for sure. The 55s, I'd put a couple. And if I felt really good about my lineup in 100, I would put in a few lineups. In football season, I was hammering them. I was going five every time. But basketball season, and I slowed down after I won my seat. I'd put one or two in just because, well, I'm in. I don't need to force it for a second seat. And I'd concentrate on putting in solid lineups on FanDuel and DraftKings because, like you mentioned, you took down a couple of seats to the bank shot there on DraftKings. That's what I've been going after, is trying to get more seats into those because that's the next big championship. I had secured one in Draft Street, and I'm trying to get multiple seats on the other sites.
Well, that nobody has really taken down multiple championships yet in the same season. We've had people get to multiple finals, but in terms of multiple championships, and let's face it, this is really one of the first years where we've had multiple championships on multiple sites. It's the great thing for the industry to get to this point where a number of sites can have these great totals. Now, let's talk about putting that team together. I'm looking at it here. And I know you would never take my advice because, you know, you're smarter than I am. But I did talk about some of these guys on the show that day. I mean, Chris Bosch is one guy who was at, 60% owned, but certainly came through for you. But to me, the most shocking thing about the finals was that Rudy Gay was only owned by 30% of the field. I thought against Charlotte, he was the most underpriced player on the board on Draft Street. I expected him to be about 70 to 80% owned, and at only 30%, I thought you had a little bit of an edge there and an easy pick.
He was a sure value, and Josh Smith was the other one, I felt. Bosch, obviously, and he was the most widely held person out of the final 10. There was a lot of value that day in the superstars. There was all-star value. A lot of guys under 15K that are generally that reside in the 16 to 18K range. So my original lineup did not have them in it for one reason or another when I put the lineup together. As soon as they kicked out the final on Thursday evening, I immediately scrambled in there and ran through a lineup, and it was 100% different from the lineup that I put in by lineup lock on Friday.
Do you have any idea how that lineup would have fared?
Oh, I would have lost. I don't know where it would have gone. I mean, I know I had Nene in there because I felt he had a good matchup until I changed my mind. I said, well, I can get cheaper. He was 15.5K somewhere in there. And then I had another 15K center. And I kind of bounced off both of them and went with Bosch and Valanciunas.
Yeah, and Boozer was another big one for you, 41 points. Now, I didn't see exactly how this finish ended. I didn't have 50,000 on the line. I didn't have anything to sweat, so I kind of fell asleep. But how did it come down? Following some of the conversations, it seems like Caterade ran into a situation where the blowout in Chicago kind of worked against him.
The blowouts in Chicago both ways are really what I attribute to me winning the championship, to be honest with you. Sacramento coming out and completely hammering Chicago, sitting all of their starters on the Wednesday round, the round of 20 when we cut down, really saved me as I just kind of stayed in. I had a big lead through the first games, and then everybody was chasing me down. And then as Chicago got blown out that night, it allowed me to survive. And then on Friday, it happened the other direction. When if I ever see Steph Curry, I'm going to shake his hand for being, 2 of 14. Because if he had been making some shots and that game stayed close, Caterade would have won going away because Robinson was on fire.
Yeah, well, it worked out. And he put together a pretty shrewd lineup there, too. I mean, Marquise Daniels had 3,600. It takes some stones to pull the trigger on that. Even, it's late in the game. It comes out that he's starting. 22 fantasy points, definitely reaching value there.
He wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
Gelabale, how do you pronounce his name? Mikhail, is it Gelabale?
Gelabale, I believe.
He was on my radar. Cardinals had some really good values as well. That really came through for him. But Daniels was not even on my radar. That came out of nowhere and was a fantastic pick.
Yeah.
He would have opened up a lot of things for a lot of people. But I also think that if I had him on my radar and threw him in my lineup, it wouldn't have allowed me to get the other guys that I did get. And I probably would have made a mistake here or there instead of keeping it simple like I did, just saying, what are the best all-star type values out there?
And that's the way you handle it. You didn't think about it all in terms of what other people were doing? Or did you?
I thought that I was going a little contrarian by not picking a couple of Lakers, knowing that Kobe, even if he was starting, you know, picking Nash, I thought was going to be a big thing. I thought that more people would have George and West and George Hill from Indianapolis going against the Lakers that night. And I thought that there was going to be some more Golden State players. So I tried to stay a little bit contrarian while still picking guys that I felt were going to produce.
Yeah, I think and Josh Smith, I mean, I think the injury that he had the game prior, I think, is what probably scared him away from a lot of people. I mean, under 15,000, like you mentioned, great value there. But you know, second time's the charm. See, this is my feeling on these things. You know, it takes two finals before – it takes, you know, the second finals before you can really take it down. You know, we saw it with Head Shopper. We saw it with DP. We've seen it with you. We saw it with Beer Makers fans. So that's my feeling. That's the way I'm going to take away with it. So the next time I get into one of these things, I got to be looked at as the favorite because
it's all you.
Simply
it's your turn.
It's all about
your, it's your time.
The experience of these big championships, especially the ones that have the qualifiers. Now you said, you know, the plan is to attack FanDuel and DraftKings big events. Where do you stand right now in terms of tickets to those biggies coming up in the next couple of weeks?
I don't know exactly how many seats I have on either site. I know I have about 30 seats currently between the two. I think I have maybe 13 or 14 on DraftKings and the rest on FanDuel. But I'm going to keep trying to plug away at those. It's what I've been really going after. In another RotoGrinders article I read that I had, the analysis on me was that I had no results this month on Draft Street. And because the qualifiers don't really show up, but if you look at the people or ask the people who are in the ticket qualifiers every night, my name's in there every day because that's what I've been focusing on this month.
I've seen it, no doubt. Now, let's learn a little bit about you outside of Daily Fantasy. What do you do on a day-to-day basis? I know you're a family man like me. You know, you got a couple of kids. We're kind of in the same position age-wise with the little ones. So tell me about what you do day-to-day.
Well, I've been working from home since I was about 27, 28. And I'm turning 40 this year, so I'm about to be a man, about to be 40. So I've turned my life into kind of a work from home. I spend a lot of time with my kids. I take them, you know, my 3-year-old, I take him to preschool in the mornings. I spend a lot of time with my little 1-year-old. And if you look at my Facebook or my Twitter, there's always pictures of my kids. You know, my life is all about them. But looking at it from a Daily Fantasy point of view, I really think that there should be a married with kids bracket where any of these young whippersnapper internet geniuses that are in their early 20s, totally single, not tied down, no kids waking up at 5 a.m., we shouldn't have to compete against them really on a day-to-day basis. They do not realize the advantage they have over you and me, Dan.
You know, and we're pointing to one guy in particular, and that's Peter, CSU Rams. Get out of here. Because you look at Beer, married kids, Chop, married kids, DP, married kids, Al, married kids. So, see, there's a trend going on here. So,
exactly.
So you get out of here. But, seriously. So, do you have, like, a poker background? Because I know, you know, Fatal Air, who works over at DraftKings, said he was really pulling for you. Is there any history as a poker player with yourself?
Yeah, I coached basketball for, like, 10 years until about 2005. And then I started playing poker while I was playing basketball. And then I kind of stopped – or, sorry, coaching basketball. And then – stopped coaching, started playing poker full time. And I was doing a lot of WPT events. I'd go to Vegas for the World Series for a month and stay out there and play as many events as I could. And I'd grind a lot of online games. So the fantasy stuff is very similar to the online poker stuff. It just takes less time. A session of online poker for me was I'd sit down for twice a day for 4 to 5 hours and grind out 6 to 8 tables where I can sit there from 3 to 4, put together lineups every afternoon before tip-off or before first pitch, and it just takes up a lot less of my time.
And you know what? I think you hit it right on the head with that statement as to guys why guys like you and I and family-type guys can succeed in this game more so than even the online than online poker, because you say it's such a grind because you have to put in the time, you have to play the tables. And let's face it, when we've got 1-year-olds and 4-year-olds running around, you just can't do it. You can't carve out 5 hours at a time to do something like that, but you can carve out an hour during a nap time or something like that. And I think that's a great point that you bring up. And you know what? You're right. We're going to us old dads are going to be taking over Daily Fantasy. I love it. Well, it's Al, I certainly appreciate you coming on the podcast. I'm so glad that you won. We now can put this whole DB jinx to rest, and congrats on the 50 grand, man. Great win for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
So let me tell you about my friends over at Daily Joust. Oh my goodness. Super Joust 5 is just like a week away. I'm getting excited. There's still plenty of time for you to get your seats in this. It's a $50,000 tournament, fun format, because it's like a multi-day 50-50 contest. Basically, it's not going to be one tournament one day. It's going to be multiple days. You got to basically grind your way into the top, and you will be handsomely rewarded. And last time they did this for baseball, one of the best players on the site, Moby Dickler, came down with the big win. I'll tell you right now, you want to know who's rolling hot? Kaiser Roll. My goodness, this guy's come back, and he is hot, really hot right now. But things that I want to talk to you about, though, is what happened to me the other night. And it's not a bad thing, because you know a lot of sites have different situations where if you tie, then nobody gets a seat. Then you kind of split the value or something like this. But the other night on Daily Joust, I was up there. It was a top 2 finishers get a Super Joust seat, and I finished tied for second. But Daily Joust, the way their tiebreaker works is that they actually go with the highest point score on the particular teams is the tiebreaker. So I kind of like that, because the ties are not totally uncommon in Daily Fantasy in terms of scores matching up at the end, but somebody will be declared a winner. But the great thing about that was it was a Super Joust qualifier, and they still pay out the places below the seats. So that's a nice little aspect of it. Made a couple of $100 in the end. I was not totally sad. But I'm still going to be putting my hat in the ring for Super Joust seats moving forward. And like I say, we're running out of time for those. College basketball, the NCAA tournament is starting up on Thursday. They're going to have lots of college basketball action. Be sure to get your teams put in for that. And in the meantime, they've got hockey. Obviously, tons of NBA action, like I mentioned. And honestly, they're one of the most competitively priced salaries you're going to find anywhere in the industry. If you want good advice, and again, I don't always give the best advice. I think I usually do, but I usually stay away from the 200K players on there. It's hard to play the LeBrons, the Durants, the Kobes. The balanced rosters, for me, from what I've witnessed, usually do pretty well. So that's my little strategy suggestion to you over there on Daily Joust. But give them a chance to earn your Daily Fantasy Biz 100% deposit bonus for anybody who's a new user over there. So check them out. Good friends of mine, dailyjoust.com. And with that, it's time for me to say bye. I'll be back with you again tomorrow on the podcast. I'll join you tonight on Grinders Live, 5:30 Eastern here at Roto Grinders. Cool chat feature. And the nice thing about that is some of the big name players. We had Head Chopper. We had CSU Ram. We had St. Louis Cardinals. We had lots of guys. Al Smizzle made it. Lots of the marquee names hanging out in the chat room. You can even ask them questions. I mean, think about this for a second. Head Chopper, one of the greatest minds in Daily Fantasy Sports, was basically not even soliciting, answering questions himself when the show was over. I mean, that's awesome. So do join us for that show tomorrow, or tonight, I should say, myself and Soccer Dave, and it's going to be Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. Should be a fun time. In the meantime, we got a Twitter feed. It is at RotoGrinders. Please send us any questions you might have. Brad does a terrific job monitoring our Twitter feed, and he will take care of you there. We've got an iTunes page where you can basically subscribe to this podcast, and you can find us over there on Facebook as well. So till tomorrow, everyone, have yourself a great Monday night, and we will see you.